Senate Judiciary Committee will come to order. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2024, and we do have a quorum. Senator Limmer, Senate File 3815. When you're ready, Senator Limmer, tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I missed you all at the filet mignon presentation in my office just a few minutes ago. I thought everyone would show up.
I'm sure you ate all the cake, however.
I think it's all gone. I'm sorry. Senate File 3815 is an expansion of our swatting crime provision in state law. It makes it a felony of not more than 1 year imprisonment and or a $5,000 fine to place an emergency call reporting a fictitious emergency. That's in the event that it's calling an emergency response, it would require a SWAT team to show at a particular address. And in this case, it would be focused only on an elected official, a judge, prosecuting attorney, correctional facility employee, or a peace officer. Having said that, Mr. Chair, I do have some additions that are in your file regarding the concept of swatting. Bring you to this attention. The Week is a publication, March 8th, 2024. The first paragraph kind of explains how big a problem this is beginning to become. Since the FBI began tracking such crimes in May of last year, police have reported more than 550 swatting attempts nationwide. These are false emergency calls that claim either a mass shooting or some other violent crime is underway, triggering a SWAT team, special weapons and tactics team, to come to whatever address it is. In addition to that, those 550 attempts, there's been over 770 similar attempts in independent schools, K-12 schools. And I would imagine if it's happening nationwide, it'll begin to start happening here. And actually, it actually has. Congressman Emmer has reported it happening at his home in Wright County. Nikki Haley, that's happened twice to her home in South Carolina. At that time, she was taking care of her elderly parents. You can only imagine a SWAT team with weaponry and tactics that are barging through the door. Confronting elderly people that might be just simply residing in the home. In this case, I believe we should, as a state, be prepared for this type of thing if it happened here. And I'll try and answer any questions that anyone may have.
Thank you, members. It's anticipated that this bill will go to the floor from here for your information. Anyone in the room want to testify in connection with this bill? Open it to the committee for comment or questions. Senator Pappas.
Just kind of a question, Mr. Chairman and Senator Limmer. You know how we are kind of a little more cautious about creating felonies. Did you consider this as a gross misdemeanor?
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Senator Pappas. Just so you're aware, we do have a swatting crime in Minnesota. It was created in 2013, and that penalty is a gross misdemeanor. And that's just for calling upon a SWAT team. Maximum penalty would be up to 364 days, so it's a misdemeanor, or gross misdemeanor, and up to a $3,000 fine. It doesn't involve the targeting of someone in authority, such as an elected official or law enforcement or someone in the criminal justice system, like a judge or a prosecutor. And so in that particular case, I believe it's an elevated crime and it's intended to change the behavior or threaten someone in a position of authority rather than just, for lack of a better term, a common swatting experience.
Any other questions or discussion? Not seeing any, Senator Limmer moves that Senate File 3815 be recommended to pass and be sent to the Senate floor.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next. Okay, so members, next item is Senate File 5257. This is an informational hearing on combative sports regulations. Chief author Senator McEwen is in another committee right now, but we will still call the bill, and we do have a testifier, Kate Perushik, from the Department of Labor and Industry. So if you could come forward and tell us about this bill, Ms. Perushik. Welcome to the Judiciary Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Kate Perushik, and I am Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Labor and Industry. Thanks for the opportunity to testify today on behalf of one provision in the department's supplemental budget bill related to our Office of Combative Sports. It's Section 8 of the bill, beginning on line 7.1, and would allow the commissioner to share medical data collected as part of a combatant's license application with the physician that conducts the pre-bout exam and the physician who sits ringside and monitors combatants during the events. So by way of background, for committee members who may not know, Department of Labor and Industry, we regulate combative sports, specifically professional boxing, professional and amateur mixed martial arts, kickboxing, and Muay Thai. And as part of this regulation, we license combatants aged 18 or older, and they need to be cleared prior to licensure by a physician. So they submit certain medical exams to us. The exams include a physical exam, eye exam, and blood work, and other neurological or physical exams the commissioner determines are needed to protect the health of a combatant. And the medical information is accompanied by a statement from a licensed physician saying the combatant is cleared to participate in an event. And the reason that we're seeking this authorization to share a combatant's medical data with the physician actually at the event is to make sure that they have complete information so they can better protect a combatant's health. And the combatant would provide authorization to disclose this information as part of their application for licensure. We had a situation recently where a physician had cleared an applicant for licensure, but disclosed that the applicant had a brain aneurysm. And the physician said that it wouldn't put the combatant at risk, but it would be helpful for the ringside physician to understand and to know that that combatant had experienced a brain aneurysm, just so that they could be on the lookout for anything that might, you know, be going wrong during the event. So simply, we think that this proposal would better protect combatant health and safety, and that is why we are seeking the change. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the committee? I mean, I can't imagine what could possibly go wrong. Someone who has had a brain aneurysm and is getting into the ring in some kind of a combative sport. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This question might be better targeted toward our council. And Mr. Chair, am I assuming that Section 8 is what's in our jurisdiction?
Senator Limmer, that's correct.
Okay. Is there a need or maybe a reference somewhere else in the bill, a cross-reference to Chapter 13 or the health record statutes, I think it's around 144, in the bill, that at least the consequences of a improper sharing of medical data, there would be at least a reference to it.
Ms. Primo.
And should there be?
Mr. Chair and members, no, there is not a reference to Chapter 13 or the Minnesota Health Records Act within the bill. My understanding is that under Section 8, the information that's being shared with the physician in that situation is information that was submitted through the licensure process under a separate statute. And that specific information would likely be classified as private data under the licensing statute 13.41, I believe. However, under 341.33, subdivision 1, which you do not see in the bill, that's information where the combatants are examined by a physician 36 hours before entering the ring, and that's filed with the commissioner, but I don't believe that medical record is specifically classified as private data, or I'm just not sure how that would be treated. I could not find anything specific to that.
So, Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
I guess the question would be, is it, would it be appropriate to make a cross-reference to the 341.33 or any other reference? I don't know myself, but should there be some reference to it that it, that this information, well, if it's presently allowed, that that information could be shared. I'm wondering if that's something that we've missed over the years, or is there a reason for that information to be disclosed to anyone beyond the physician and the subject of the medical record?
Ms. Perushik, if you happen to know the answer to any of these questions, feel free to jump in.
Certainly, Ms. Chair. Senator, so the only other time that we're disclosing medical data is there are other state commissions that regulate combative sports, and from time to time they will have an applicant or a combatant seeking to compete in their state, and so they will approach us and ask us to share that medical information, and we have an explicit authorization form that we provide to the combatant, and we require their express permission to share that data with another state commission, regulatory body.
Mr. Chair, if we could just step away from state statutes and talk about HIPAA laws, how does HIPAA fit into this type of sharing of information? Or is it a consent at the time a contestant gets into this field, and do they sign off on some, you know, blanket consent form that they are willing to allow their medical records to be shared?
Ms. Perushik.
Mr. Chair, Senator, at the time of licensure, as part of the license application, there is a data practices notice. There's a provision in the application where we indicate that we may share certain information. And so we would rely on that signature on the license application to provide that authorization for us to share their medical data with the ringside physician. In terms of HIPAA, I talked with our general counsel this morning, and their evaluation of that law is that the Office of Combative Sports within Department of Labor and Industry would be considered a public health authority engaged in the practice of preventing or controlling injury. And as such, they believe the Office of Combative Sports is, we are exempt from HIPAA's provisions. However, under the Minnesota Health Records Act, their interpretation it is that is unlikely that Office of Combative Sports would qualify as a provider. So we couldn't rely on those provisions for disclosure, and hence why we would need this authorization in this bill.
Senator Kroon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I have an amendment that would address this, the A2.
So, members, just so you know, we can make suggestions here, but the bill technically is still in the possession of the Rules Committee. So if we adopt an amendment, it'll simply be a suggestion to the Rules Committee as to what we think they ought to do, unless they choose to send it to us for action.
The motion is to send it to us. I requested that they do so this morning, but they chose not to.
Oh, apparently the Rules Committee opted not to send the bill to us directly this morning, so.
So can I offer a?
You can offer the amendment and we can debate it, and I guess the Rules Committee will decide what to do with it.
All right, Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer a suggested amendment, the A2.
Yes, staff will distribute the amendment. So Deputy Commissioner Perushik, were you aware that this amendment was coming?
No.
Senator Kroon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Not a lot of future hearings ahead of us, but in the future it would be helpful if you could share amendments that you're proposing with the testifiers or the chief authors of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was just drafted at 10:33 this morning, and given the activity on the floor, I wasn't sure what was going on exactly with this, and so the decision to offer it was not made very long ago. But Mr. Chair, if I may.
Senator Kroon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's really just a pretty simple housekeeping matter. Just to remove any doubt here, all it would do is classify the data collected under 341.33, including the new subdivision 3 in this bill. It would just classify the data as private under section 13.02, subdivision 12. And I think Senator Limmer's concerns then would be alleviated.
So before we get to the merits, I'm just going to make a note, and I'm not going to belabor the point, but this is not the first time, Senator Kroon, that amendments have been offered that were available far earlier in the day that could have been shared. We had one several weeks ago that you offered that you said you just got, but it had been printed out about 9 o'clock that morning. Clearly have been in the works for a couple of days because it was a little lengthier amendment. I've seen in other committees, people are walking around even just before the committee convenes, talking to authors and saying, you know, here, I'm thinking about offering this amendment. What do you think? So for future practice, I think it'd be much more helpful and productive if you would consider doing that. As to the merits, counsel, do you have any opinion as to whether or not this is necessary or helpful, Ms. Primo?
Mr. Chair and members, I don't provide opinions on policy issues. However, I could not find a data classification in the statute for the information that is collected by the commissioner under 341.33 subdivision 1. So if the committee's intent is to clarify that data is private, then this may be a way to do that.
Senator McEwen, the chief author of the bill, has now joined us. Senator McEwen, welcome to the Judiciary Public Safety Committee.
Thank you.
This is here for informational purposes only. The bill is presently in the possession of the Rules Committee that declined this morning to send us the bill. So whatever discussion or action we purport to take today will only be a recommendation to the Rules Committee, and they would have to decide what to do with the bill. We do have an A2 amendment has just been distributed and made available to Deputy Commissioner Perushik. I assume you have not seen this proposed amendment until this very moment as well. Is that correct, Senator?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
All right.
I'm
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question that popped up in my mind here. Is if we would pass something that would allow sports betting, does this fall under sports betting? And if so, does this information of the personal health of a person that's part of this competition, would that be supplied to the odds makers?
Deputy Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, I don't know the answer to that question in terms of whether it's involved in sports betting.
So it looks like from the terms of the bill, the only participant that would receive the information would be the physician conducting the pre-bout exam or the ringside physician. I would assume there's something. Well, the idea from your earlier testimony was that subdivision one of chapter or section 341.33 now restricts the dissemination of this information, or you believe that it might, and you're offering this section 8 here amendment to clarify that you have the authority to give it to the physician. Is that correct, Deputy Commissioner?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is correct. So the initial medical information collected at time of application for a combatant license could be conducted by any physician licensed in the state of Minnesota. And so this would allow us to share that collected medical information at time of application for license with the physician that's actually attending the event, conducting the pre-bout exam 36 hours before, and then tends to be the same person, the same physician who attends the event and is there ringside and then also conducts the post about medical evaluation.
Deputy Commissioner Perushik, would it be your understanding then that subdivision one of this statute, 341.33, would, other than this proposed exception, still restrict the dissemination of that information, that medical record information, to any other person or party?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. We treat medical data as private data.
So I think perhaps, Senator Carlson, does that answer your question?
At this point, Mr. Chair, yes.
So members, council has pulled up 341.33 subdivision one, and the way she just explained to me and the way I'm reading it as well is that it allows for the examination and a report. Doesn't say anything about the dissemination of the report, and then just authorizes the physician to take the action of prohibiting the combatant from entering the ring. So it doesn't really give any guidance about what happens to that report whatsoever. Would you read it the same way, Ms. Primo?
Mr. Chair and members, yes. And that's the piece where I could not find a classification in statute with respect to that examination that occurs 36 hours before the event.
So, Ms. Primo, what would be the effect of adding the language proposed in the A2 amendment?
Mr. Chair and members, it would classify that specific information as private data on individuals, as well as any information that may be collected pursuant to this new subdivision in Section 8, but it would not change the authorization in Section 8 Subdivision 3 that's being, that would act as a exception to share that information.
Senator McEwen or Deputy Commissioner Perushik, what are your thoughts on the advisability of proposing this amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'd want to speak with our general counsel about the amendment, but it is certainly something we are open to discussing and would want to make sure that we are protecting combatants' private medical information. Absolutely.
Is your Deputy Commissioner, is your general counsel available? Or that would happen after we're done here?
Mr. Chair, they are not here with me today. No.
Well, I for one would like the input from the department's general counsel on this. I mean, I'm leaning towards seeing the value of the A2 amendment, but I think it's be valuable to get the input from the department's general counsel, who's much more familiar with this area of the law than I am, for one, anyway. Any further discussion? Senator Cruen, you're the author of the amendment. How would you like to proceed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know, this is the first time I've ever offered a suggested amendment of the bill that's not in front of us, so I'm not really sure how to handle that.
Well, Senator Cruen, as I see it, your options are move the A2 amendment as a recommendation to the bill that's in the Rules Committee's possession, in which case, if it passes, it would be the recommendation of the Judiciary Committee. Or, since we don't have the input from the Department's General Counsel, and that's the request at least of the Deputy Commissioner, and I see the Chief Author nodding her head, I presume the same from the Chief Author, that we just leave this amendment here as offered. Maybe you withdraw the amendment, but it's out there for consideration, and the parties can wait until there is input from the General Counsel. I guess the third alternative is we pass it as a recommendation. The General Counsel weighs in after the fact, and the Rules Committee will take all that into consideration. I'm just not feeling well enough informed to vote in favor of the amendment at this point without the input from the Department's General Counsel. Senator McKeown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for this suggested amendment and the discussion. I apologize for my lateness arriving here, but these questions that the committee is discussing are questions that I had also had for the department specifically about this issue when we talked. So I welcome this discussion and will be following up on with the council to find out if this amendment would be advised, if there would be any issues with adopting it, and you do have my commitment that these are concerns that I share, that this data is private along, I believe the department also shares those concerns, so the best way that we can button that up and make sure that it's adhered to, I'll be ready to do.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Cruen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just trying to think through if, I'm willing to withdraw the amendment as long as at some point there isn't another committee. Let's say the general counsel is okay with the amendment, and then they're like, well, what, this is judiciary's amendment to make, and they didn't recommend it, so we're uncomfortable doing it.
So, Senator Cruen, as I understand it, this was a late bill coming out of labor. It was re-referred to judiciary, but because of the Senate rules of being a late bill, it got diverted to the Rules Committee, which has basically authority to send the bill on somewhere if they choose to, but doesn't really make substantive amendments to bills. So I think if the Rules Committee lets it out of Rules Committee, they're either going to send it here as a late bill, in which case we'd have it in front of us to act, or they would send it to the floor, in which case you could offer the amendment on the floor. Either way, by that point, presumably there'd be some input from the General Counsel, and there'd be some guidance on the advisability of adopting the amendment. So maybe we leave it at this has been a helpful discussion. There's a proposal out there, and let's see what further input comes and where the bill goes.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Cruen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With that, I think I'll withdraw the amendment and proceed as we'll see how what rules does with it, and there'll be another opportunity to amend the bill, assuming the General Counsel is in agreement.
Yeah, and members, we do have a committee hearing on Friday. It's a pretty full agenda, but if Rules releases the bill and sends it to us, we can address it on Friday. Now I've committed staff to squeezing it in, but All right. Any further discussion at this informational hearing? All right, we're done with Senate File 5257.
Thank you very much.
Members, we are going to have a hearing on Friday. We don't have a hearing on Wednesday. The Senate's in recess for Eid. We expect to convene 9 a.m. and get the notice as to exactly where we will be. Do we know where?
1150.
We'll be in the Senate building, room 1150, 9 a.m. Friday morning. Until that time, we are adjourned.